Deep in the heart of Appalachia, guys set out on a quest to create the greatest podcast.
Sorry, dude. I thought we agreed on the correct pronunciation of Appalachia.
No, dude. We've talked about this. We've talked about this over and over and over. It's pronounced Appalachia.
Listen, freaking angels and the women got together. That's how we got Bigfoot. That's how we got vampires. That's why we got all of this stuff.
These ancient Appalachian mountains that are literally older than bones. There's old entities here. When you start finding out more about them, they start finding out more about you.
Good Lord, sir. This goose has gone rabid. You think you're just going to run up with your little sword on the king of the goose squad?
Listen, the old entities of Middle Appalachia are unexplainable. They are eerie.
Breach.
And they are one of these things that will keep us, the hill folks, and the people who live in the area, constantly searching for answers. That they probably will never, ever find. And this is why we love Appalachian Intelligence.
Hello, Hill Folk, and welcome back to another edition of Appalachian Intelligence. Tonight, we have some very special guests coming all the way from Texas and Tennessee, and I'm not sure, Georgia?
Yeah,
yes. Georgia. Yes.
Mineral Bluff, Georgia. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. So first we have Scott and Sheila Granger from Squatch Fishing Outfitters. We have Les Durant, UFO and woo woo dude. That's what I got in the description.
It's your bio. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Brandon Thomas from Expanding Reality. Guys, welcome to Appalachian Intelligence. Welcome to the Hill Folk community. Scott and Sheila, you want to tell us a little bit about yourselves, what y'all do, where people can find you?
Yeah, we're here in a little place called Ella J, Georgia.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we have Squatch Fishing Outfitters. You can locate us on Facebook, on TikTok also. Mm-hmm. We specialize in Bigfoot outings for people, excursions and expeditions. And on the side, we guide fly fishing.
Nice. Okay.
That sounds awesome.
Our little short excursions are a four-hour event, one evening. Our expeditions are a two-night camping event. And we really have a lot of fun with it. I mean,
we have a lot of fun.
I have a blast with it and have a lot of success.
That's all. My dad listens to this podcast a lot, and he is an avid fly fisherman. He'll be calling you guys, I'd say.
Awesome.
He'll be wanting me to get up with you.
Get in touch with us. You know, and I, as far as the fly fishing part, I take folks that have never put a fly rod in their hand, instruct them for a little while, get them on the water catching fish, and it is just great to see a person, you know, do that for the very first time.
Oh, man. And I tell you what, learning that and just having that as a skill set in general, it's a dying art, really. You don't see too many people doing it anymore.
It really is, and I really enjoy teaching folks, you know, to do it and everything. And it's been a great thing for me.
Yeah.
You know, someone taught me to do it, so I try to give back a little bit and teach other people.
Yeah. If I could, my kids like to fish, but they don't want to learn the fancy stuff. They just want me to bait a hook, and they're going to cast it, and that's about it.
Hey.
All right. Well, you guys, so other than the fishing tour, the guides and everything like that, y'all got the TikTok going. That's Squatch Fishing Outfitters, right?
That's right.
TikTok. And the same on Facebook.
And I try to post a lot of recent stuff on TikTok, you know, any evidence we may have got, any audio.
Yeah. Audios pictures. And evidence like pictures and everything you get to see on TikTok. We don't post that as much on Facebook just because of the folks that you have, you know, that are Monday morning.
We don't like
armchair quarterbacks, you know, that, oh, well, that's not what you're thinking.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to sit there and argue with someone that you can't look at face to face.
Yeah.
But we just avoid it.
Yeah, I always allow comments on the YouTube thing, but I don't think I've ever read any of them. If I have, it's been by mistake, and usually it's ones that make me laugh anyway. So,
but, yeah. But yeah. I tell you, though, this you guys, in the Bigfoot world, you'll see it. It's terrible. You know, it's
competitive.
Very competitive for some reason. I don't know why, but it is.
I've noticed that, and you guys know Sasquatch Chronicles, Wes Germer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's my favorite.
And, he is amazing. I love that show. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it's like he talks about it all the time. Like it's one thing or the other. There's no coming in and sharing ideas when it comes to the Bigfoot world. And I don't understand.
It's trying to hide your favorite fishing hole. Nobody tells anybody.
That's it. That's really it.
It's crazy. Like, we all want the same thing, right? We all want the proof. We all want to show.
That's what you would think.
You want the answers.
But you don't believe in that.
Coming up here on Brandon's event, we're going to be presenters for the first night.
Awesome.
Opening night on Brandon's event coming up in May.
That's awesome. And that is the Befriending Bigfoot event in Blairsville, Georgia.
Yep. Yes. May 15th through the 20th.
May 15th through the 20th.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, and the layout of that event Brandon's putting on, you know, it's nothing like any other Bigfoot conference or anything folks have been to. So if they get the opportunity, they really need to come see this because there's going to be a lot of interaction that's not real common. A whole lot more to do for the people there. It's just going to be a great event.
That's awesome. Oh, man. So you guys do a lot of squatch hunting or squatching. I don't know what they call it down there.
If I'm not working or we're in the woods.
We're in the woods.
Nice.
All right.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah, we need to come see y'all.
Definitely. Y'all are right around the corner from us.
We are, yeah. In fact, yeah. I think I've heard about you guys before. So
You heard about me from your wife.
Yeah, through Claudette.
There you go.
Yeah,
okay.
That's how I know them is through you.
I was going to say, I'm going to go call her. I'm going to go get her.
I love it. He's searching for UFOs too, audience, while we're doing this. So this is a dynamic gathering here for sure.
I was going to ask if Les likes cannabis as much as me. But... I only took half a dose tonight, so I'd be on my A game, guys.
Right.
There you go. Right.
And Sheila's got former law enforcement officers sitting there, just loving this.
It's legal in Virginia.
Yeah, that's I know where you're at. It's hilarious, right?
Every person that's ever retired from law enforcement, the first thing they say when they're walking out the door is, "I'm gonna smoke one that long."
I don't see the big hang up, man. I've seen so many people come off of really bad man made hard drugs, the real drugs.
Mm-hmm. Claudette's here now.
Hey,
hello,
Claudette.
Hi. Welcome to Appalachian Intelligence.
Yeah, just introduce a guest over the shoulder. I love this show. This is awesome.
Yeah.
You know, speaking back again about Brandon's event coming up, on the second day, we're going to be the guide hosts for the hiking event he's putting on. We're going to take folks down to a place we call Booger Alley. Can't wait to get Brandon down there.
Oh, yeah. We're going to make him scream like a girl.
I'm so excited. I've got a very high-pitched scream I can tap into, too. You guys are in for it.
Yeah.
And I promise you, once he gets there, he'll fully understand why it's nicknamed that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait. I'm ready to be friends and boogers, man. Let's do this.
Booger Alley.
Booger Alley.
He's not going at night. He needs to go about midnight till 5 o'clock in the morning. That's the really true witching hour.
Yeah.
I can't wait. It's gonna be good. Claudette's never actually gone on a hunt, and I've never gone on a hunt, so I think it'd be great.
All the things come to you guys right where you're at. You don't have to hunt, and they just come to you.
We don't have to hunt very hard.
No.
Right.
So I gotta say, my wife and I have 12-acre ranch out here. I'm the one that lives in Texas for the audience sake. And we have a 12-acre piece of property out here. We have a wonderful pond that's legendary throughout these lands for amazing fish in it. It's never gone dry since it's been there. And that's the thing about our pond. It's catching, not fishing. Like you throw your rod in and you're catching something immediately. It's it takes sort of the fun out of it for the kids later when they go anywhere else. And so I've got a buddy who brought his kid here for the first time to fish ever. He caught 19 fish in 40 minutes. Yeah. And only because I couldn't run to the other side of the pond fast enough to pull him off the hook for him every time. We had his sister on one side, him on the other. So it's really just catching, just like you guys. You can't throw a rock. I mean, I'm sure, Les, we're going to be interrupted by UFOs here in a minute. I mean, you guys, Sheila and Scott, you'll have some rocks hit your roof here and pounding in a second. You know, it's that active out there. It's what's so fascinating. And it's a beautiful area.
Mm-hmm.
You guys have that kind of activity there?
Oh, yeah. For example, today, you know, Brenda, I think he was telling you about Scott put my roof rack on my 4Runner for me.
Yes. Yeah.
And we were standing there and I looked at our RV backed up there and I said, what is that on the window?
There's a handprint on the window on the RV.
Oh, man.
And I've been told that y'all get some really good stuff too.
We do.
So
we
I'm
do.
Excited.
We really do.
Yeah. That's awesome.
We originally bought this piece of property we have. It was really unique. We loved the place, loved its location, everything about it. Had no idea. And I call these things critters. You know, a lot of people call them things. Yeah. I call them critters. We had no idea this entire cove and ridge system in here had these critters on it. So we buy the house. We get moved in and everything. We're, you know, here probably about a week, maybe a week and a half. And all of a sudden, the side of the house starts getting slapped. You know, and I mean, it's getting slapped. It's not just no love taps. Our meter box gets slapped continuously.
Wow.
Our gas tank gets slapped. And if you've ever slapped a propane gas tank, you kind of know that sound.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Very distinctive. And we all that would be going on.
Wow.
Well, we have floodlights all the way around the house. But at the time, they were manual. You'd have to turn them on. So I went to turn them on one day, and on the back side of the house, they were all the floodlights were blown.
Mm.
I'm like, wow, you know, this is crazy. How does all the lights blow at one time?
Right.
But to get up there to that, you have to have a 12-foot A-frame ladder. So I get me two new lights. I run up that A-frame ladder and going to change these light bulbs out real quick, grab hold of the first one. It's loose. It takes 4-quarter turns to tighten that light bulb up.
Mm-hmm.
I reach over and grab a hold of the other one that's on that same set, same way. So I'm thinking about it for a little bit, and I jump off the ladder, run around there, and flip a switch on light bulbs. Come on. I'm like, okay. This house doesn't vibrate. You know, it's
right.
No way in the world both of these lights have loosened up that much at one time. So I immediately go on ahead and get me some motion sensor lights and come back and install those. Well, all the slapping on the house and everything stopped. And it was kind of unique because we'd be laying there in the bed and you can see these lights come on when we're laying in bed. For the first little bit, the lights would come on, you know, do their thing and go back off. A little while, they'd come back on again and go back off. And that went on for a little while. And then a lot of the activity slowed down. The howling and everything, you know, that's normal.
Yeah.
And you know how when you're weed eating your yard and everything, and you know what's in your yard. I mean, you don't want to hit rocks and stuff with a lawnmower and all that stuff. And there's something about these quartz rocks here. They're fascinated with these quartz rocks.
Mm.
I don't know if it's with energy.
I think it's energy.
Things really? Like that. But
those white ones?
Yeah, uh-huh. The white quartz rocks.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to go find one real quick. You go ahead.
Bigfoot bait.
It's like you always hear that where there's large quartz deposits, there's mm-hmm. activity and things like that. Mm-hmm. Isn't it the Skinwalker Ranch or somewhere is over top of a large quartz deposit? Or
yeah, there's some kind of deposit out there. I can't remember exactly what it is.
Yeah,
but we have a lot of
underwater aquifers as well. Plays into the piezoelectric properties as well. It's fascinating.
Well, that's what I was just noticing about my house here. The way the water runs off the mountains, which my backyard is a mountain, like basically the house is backed up to it. So
mm-hmm.
it was built right here. They just dozed out a little slope on the mountain. The mountain goes straight up, but I have like a square around my house of running water from the creek at the top that mm-hmm. goes across and then the two runoffs that come down, and then the creek that runs in front of it.
Dude.
So it's like
we have a creek in behind the house here, and we have a trail that goes down to it. And I was walking around one day, and there's two baseball-sized quartz rocks sitting back there. You know, they're about 3 foot apart. I looked at them. I'm like, I know those rocks weren't there. I just mowed and just weeded it. So I'm looking at them. I'm looking at the house, and I'm thinking and I'm wondering. So that evening, when Sheila got home from work, I got her to go down there on the trail with me. And right at dusk, when we knew the lights would activate, we're on down the trail, and I start walking back up the trail. As soon as I get to those rocks, the lights come on, which was very unique.
Wow.
So I just take and move the lights forward toward the house about 3 foot for them. And we're both in the mindset we're going to catch them good tonight, you know, kind of fool them a little bit. The first night it didn't happen, but the second night we were laying there in bed, them lights come on. I'm like, oh, yeah, we got you now. But, I mean, they're smart enough, and the things are extremely intelligent.
They try to open the doorknobs. I'm telling you, they turned our doorknobs, and we slammed the back screen porch door. You know, you talking about somebody came out of the bed real quick, and I'll just lay there and roll back over. I'm screwed. I'm going to sleep.
Yeah, no, that would that's uncalled for, Bigfoot.
Yeah. I always lock my door.
Boundaries, right?
Yeah,
come on, man.
Like I said, we bought this place, had no idea we had all this, you know, right here at the house, and we were already into doing all this anyway. It was. On one way, it's kind of a plus thing, and on another way, you know, it's a little bit drawback.
It freaks our dogs out, especially our dash hound. She's got her hot spot.
Yeah, you kind of need a break from it, right? You don't want to, like, shit where you eat, as they say, you know?
Exactly, and, you know, and a lot of folks, you know, they say, oh, man, it's got to be great living where y'all live because y'all have all that activity around your house and this, that, and the other, and I'm thinking to myself, buddy, you don't live here. You know, we put up with this all the time. Right. Y'all just do it when you go off with us. That's not it, but that's it.
Yeah.
It's fascinating.
Yeah.
That's them.
Yeah.
Found them in my rock bed, remember, by the doorstep.
Because
they leave them everywhere.
And they'll leave them around here for us everywhere.
Now, I also have a crepe myrtle stick that I kind of like. I've also been told that crepe myrtles are kind of haunted, but I don't like crepe myrtles. So would this work as a nice little squatch stick?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you.
I wouldn't fight one with it.
No. We're befriending Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Befriending.
No. Yeah. No. I mean, like, no. Yeah.
Walker stick.
Hey, check my stick out, Bigfoot. Yeah. He's like, oh, cool. Thanks for not hitting me with it. And you're like, yeah, no problem. You want to
see it? 9 times out of 10, you don't need that stick. We just put a fire, you know, sit around the fire and start talking, have a good time. There's a hiking group, and they come to you. You're their entertainment.
You guys, it's like a family group.
That's good to know. Claudette's going to love it because. She's really into Bigfoot, and you know, and I think it's going to be just awesome. And you know, we were at Chastain House in Morganton, and she actually knocked right out front of it, and she knocked on this tree, and she got three knocks back, and then you know,
that's not surprising.
Yeah,
we've actually been
standing on the upper.
Chastain House
and heard them howl across the way.
Do y'all know Ricky Brown?
Yes.
Very well.
Okay. Yeah. Ricky. Yeah. I haven't seen him for a long time, but great guy. And so I've been to Chastain House quite a bit, and he's like, man, I can take you up to show you some Bigfoot too.
He's been to this a couple of times.
Yeah. Off of Astor Road. And man, it's like, oh my gosh.
He was with us the night we got bluff charged, and I thought I was done. I thought I was a greasy spot in the road.
Oh gosh!
Go on,
right?
You can't just leave hanging. Come on, Sheila.
Continue, please.
yeah. So, I mean, that's pretty cool. But just being able to hear those come back is like, wow, that was great, you know. Mm-hmm. And then, and we've got some really cool cryptid stuff from Arkansas. We didn't actually see anything. But there's a guy up there named Ken King who gets a lot of good Bigfoot stuff. And just kind of like I get UFOs, I mean, daily. But, I mean, he can go out there and he's got gifting trees and everything, too. And it's amazing. But, you know, just where, yeah, where we are, we're, you know, we're in the darkest part of Georgia. And as you can tell, you can see behind me. I mean, there's like nothing out here. But I can sure see some, planes and stuff. And you know, it's pretty awesome. And we've, you know, we've called craft and they've come and it's awesome. Now, have you guys seen any UFOs up there?
I've got videos I'm going to show you.
Fantastic. Oh, all right, great. Yes.
Okay. And if we have, if I'm telling you, 9 times out of 10, if we see a UFO or what we think is a UFO or whatever, and I've got videos from our yard here, then we have pretty much aggressive Bigfoot activity.
You hear this a lot, UFOs and Bigfoot associated together. There's another guy going to be joining us, actually. Just shout out here real quick to this dude, Josh Cutchin. If you guys have ever heard of him, he's written Where the Footprints End. This is volume one, volume two so far, Folklore. And then he's got another, Tuba Player, by the way. Amazing dude. He's written a bunch of books. This is just one I'm holding here.
Yep. But, he's been on here.
There you go. There you go. He's going to be swinging by the event as well, guys. So he lives just down the road. He's going to come hang out and bring a bunch of books. So in there, he talks about a lot of this ancillary phenomena also associated with Bigfoot, like the craziest of the crazy. Like Bigfoot's already wild, right? But that's not enough where you hear some more kind of thing. And associated with the UFOs, like somebody will say that UFO lands in their backyard, all of a sudden, and then takes off, and then Bigfoot shows up the next night. So, and then and then from then on, it's poltergeist activity throughout their whole property. So it's fascinating. It's almost like a Skinwalker Ranch phenomenon, to where once you see one thing, it opens the door
for
all kinds of stuff, which makes you feel like the phenomena is all associated, or it's all the same thing, right?
Well, we're going to go on that hike. We were up there one night, and I'm going to tell you, there's an old, very old graveyard up there, too. So we were camped out right there and was having Bigfoot activity, or not UFO activity that night. And 5 o'clock that morning, we were, well, most of us were still awake, and there was no wind blowing whatsoever. And all you hear is creak, 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 creak. I mean, this huge tree just gets pushed over.
Green tree.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
diameter to it, and now
I've got a video that I shot just right over there that looks like there is an entity in it, and we think that that could be a craft for a Bigfoot, possibly. It just kind of floats around, but next time you're down the mountain, I'll show it to you, or I'll show it to you at the event. Okay. But also, I was going to invite you. Do y'all ever go to Mystic Mountain Pizza?
Have we ever been there?
We've never been there.
Yeah, okay, y'all need to go, because Brandon Murphy and her husband, they're really into UFOs and stuff too, and Bigfoot. And so I'm celebrating my birthday there on the 12th.
Happy birthday.
It's going to be my, thank you. It's going to be my 60th birthday on the 6th. But Dave Baker, who's in the Encounters movie with me, he is an abductee. It's his
also
birthday.
Speaking at our event, by the way.
Yeah, he is turning 70, and so we are having a double birthday, and there's going to be a band and everything. So everybody, all my UFO friends are all welcome. It's a Friday. Of course, Brandon, you know Brandon. So, so it's going to be a big party.
Wonderful. And I cannot brag on that Mystic Mountain Pizza enough. We actually did a scout trip out there. My events coordinator, Kristen Bolt, and I, shout out Kristen Bolt. And we went out there and met with Brandon. She's actually going to be part of our event. We will be serving Mystic Mountain Pizza for some of it. She's got an amazing sandwich shop too, the Grateful Bread, that does all kinds of stuff. But I cannot brag on them, the pizza, the place, those people enough. So yes, please, y'all. I mean, amazing. And they are.
And I got to throw something in. So she just recently went to Area 51, to the terrestrial highway. And I told her, I said, Brandon, I said, can you bring me back a rock? And she said, Les, I already did. I'm like, my, I can't wait. So that's the kind of person Brandon is. That's who she is.
And just for the audience here, this is the community. So all the people they're mentioning, and, you know, a lot of these folks are going to be out there, and it's just a party. And we're going to get into a little bit more of that. But I want to hear about Sheila's bluff charge, though. I mean, was anybody left hanging on that?
Yes.
Yeah. There was about six of us hiking down the road that night. It was dark. It was plenty dark. And we were actually behind. We were the last laggers behind. And I was on this side. Scott was on this side. And there was a ridge up, you know, right beside us. We were walking actually between two ridges. Mm-hmm. And it was, have you ever been like in a car wreck or you just prepare, you just, you know, like I said, the rabbit, you know, like when the rabbit is about to get got, it mm-hmm. sounded like it was just tearing everything down, coming that ridge wide open. I mean, it's mm-hmm. just like you think you're fixing to get hit by a linebacker or something. So I went ahead and just, you know, hunkered down and I grabbed Scott's hand, you know, I thought I was dead. That was going to be it if it hit me. And it just stopped. I mean, right before hitting me, it stopped.
I can't sit right here. And, gosh, somebody coming off that ridge like that. And we throw our heads around to where the noise is coming from. It's coming down the ridge at us. You can see the mountain laurel parting. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was coming. And about 10 yards, it just come to a dead stop. We don't know if he jumped over top of us, or if he slammed on brakes right there and stopped, or if he hit a trail right there and cut down the way. Yeah. But right after that, we did hear heavy stomping on the other side of the road from us. That's why I say I don't know if he jumped over top of us.
Mm-hmm. But running through laurel anyway, a laurel yep. thicket, that's laurel crazy. Thicket.
And, oh, yeah. and for in us the, to look up and the see hills. The laurel thicket actually parting mm-hmm. as it was coming down through there. And that was, you know, and when she gripped down on me, I had already done completely tensed up and everything. And we were both. You know, just like, this is it. We are running slap over right here. And all this is flashing through your mind, that, you know, mm-hmm. like lightning.
We wow. had, y'all, we hadn't even told you about this one. We were camping one night, and this was not Bigfoot hunting. We were a friend, had a birthday, and he wanted to go camping. So there was six of us that went out camping that night. About 2:30 that morning, we were all, you know, had a couple drinks. I did, Scott did. And I was sleeping good. About 2:30, he starts coughing. I mean, he coughed heavy. And when he did, we had a 15-foot trailer at that time, and something about shook it off the blocks.
One shove. you put a camper on, you know, when you set your camper up, you've got those one-by-one pads that you set your stands up on. Had it set up right in the middle of them, you know, perfectly and everything. And we'd already heard them whoop right in there behind our trucks. Yeah. I mean, we're laying there and heard this.
That took peanut butter, whole jar of peanut butter.
And, you know, and we're both laying there giggling about them whooping behind the trucks. Well, I had to cough, and I just rolled over and coughed real hard. And whenever I did, evidently he had slipped up pretty close to that camper. And I startled him or something, but one shove, he about shoved that camper completely off those blocks.
And you could see the impressions where they were on their hands and knees, right behind the camper the next morning, where they were crawling up there.
She asked me, says, "Are you going out there?" I said, "No, I'm not going out there. I know what it is."
Hell no, I'm not going out there. I know what's
happening. No, has. I don't need to know the answer to that question.
Yeah. No, we already knew the answer to it. Just, you know,
no, thank you. Identified, no, thank you. No trust but verify. I trust that that's what's going on.
Our other friends were in a pop-up camper, and he was telling her, he said, unzip the window. She's like, I got to unzip the window. And they were both too terrified to move.
Wow. Yeah. Because
they could actually hear it walk right by their pop-up.
I wonder if it was doing that spider crawl.
If I see
on its back, Ryan, that's a new terrifying image I never want to think of again. Are there cases of that?
Oh, yes, gosh, so many.
They hold their fingers and their toes.
Yeah. On the front.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, bipedal, like, or I mean, quadrupedal, like a dog or something, right? But not they, like behind, not the crab crawl, like we did in gymnastics.
No.
Okay, do you see now why I was confused? Because I'm talking about that. I thought the crab crawl was what you're talking about, that a bunch of Bigfoots are rolling around doing that. That's weird.
Wow. It's like their bellies to the ground.
Yeah.
They sneak up on a lot of stuff like
that. It's like their fingertips and toes are touching, and they can just hold themselves at whatever level.
Mm-hmm.
And the way people describe it when they're moving, it sounds terrifying. If I'm not mistaken, that was how Wes Germer's encounter was. Is he saw a spider crawl from a
and I'm telling you right now, go ahead and take a picture, write it down, whatever. When I see one do that, I'll never go in the woods again. I'm pretty sure I will be done.
That'll be it, right?
I'm gonna tell a quick story on one of our guys that I don't normally tell the story, but I will tonight. I had a group of individuals up on a ridge, and we had already crossed a bunch of smells, and I mean, horrific smells.
Mm-hmm.
So I get him to the top of the ridge, and I've got one of the individuals with me that he was kind of a skeptic a little bit in the beginning, and he was all the way up until this night. And he had bought him a brand new FLIR and everything. I've got them in position, and I've already seen the two critters over here through mine. Mm-hmm. And they're looking around, and all of a sudden I hear him take a deep breath. And well, at that moment right there, I knew he seen him. And he hollers to me, he says, "Scott." And I said, "Yeah." He says, "I'm seeing something here." And I said, "Well, tell me what you're seeing." So he goes to explaining it to me, and he's saying, "Well, it's got his hands around the tree. I can see that." He said, "And it's looking out from one side." And he says, "Wait a minute." He just moved over and he's looking out from the other side. And he says, "And this thing's shoulders are hanging off of both sides of the tree." I said, "Well, you just answered one of your own questions." He said, "What's that?" I said, a bear does not have shoulders when he's standing up. His shoulders are sloped down like towards a 45-degree angle. They're not squared off. Well, he's all giddy and everything by that. So I'm easing back away from him over to another individual that's with us. And he's over there with night vision thermals. He's looking around. And I'm about 10 yards away from this guy. And I heard the pop. I mean, it was like a sure enough pop. Well, he takes off running, comes to run by me, and I literally had to catch him from running, because that's one of the things we don't do. We don't run, because if you go to running, you become prey. You become the toy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so I catch him, and I said, "Man, what is it?" And he says, "Something just hit me on the leg." And I heard, I mean, I literally heard something hit him. And the way he took off, I honestly thought he was snake bit. I really did. It was that kind of lick. So I ease over there to where he's at, looking around. There's no rocks there. There's no little limbs that he could have stepped on and flipped up and hit his leg or anything. And I had been up there the day before, and there's a game trail right there where he was standing. That game trail was about a foot wide, a well-used game trail, but only about a foot wide with about 2.5-foot brush on each side of that game trail. Well, when I get up there and I'm looking down that game trail, now all of a sudden this game trail, all the brush is crushed down about 2 foot on each side of the game trail, as far down there as I could see. So I had an idea of what had just transpired and happened. I couldn't swear to it, but I had a real good idea of what had just transpired. And shortly after that, right there, after they all got to look at the two that was peeking at us and everything over the knoll, I eased everybody off the mountain. And as we're easing off the mountain, this same individual that just got his leg popped, through night vision, he sees something in there, and he starts taking pictures. Well, he wasn't sure if he was taking pictures or not. So he continues taking pictures. He winds up taking 11 pictures. Each picture frame, the thing's in a different position. It's leaning over, going down. And he's got a really, really good night vision picture of one off that expedition.
Nice. Right and on.
Shortly after that, he went with us several more times. You know, I wasn't sure if he was coming back or not. But he's got a lot of good grit about him, and he's went back with us several times. And
most people have. If they've been with us one time, they repeat.
Yeah, and he's actually one of our team now.
That's good news for the event, too. Huh?
So what do you
recommend? All of it. Everything about this has been fantastic, man. I'm blown away by this.
Scott and Sheila, what do you recommend? Like, let's say me and Claudette want to come. We've never come before. What do you recommend we bring?
If we're doing the weekend thing, you just need your, you know, a tent, sleeping bags, a cot. Let me tell you something. We can give you all the advice in the world, because let me tell you, you could name how to screw it up. Me and Scott has done it.
Oh, yeah.
We have learned by what not to do.
But no, seriously, you bring your camping gear.
Yeah.
A lot of the places we go, if you have a camper, you know, and you want to utilize that small camper, the areas we can get campers into,
somebody's coming up our mountain.
Okay. The first night with us, we provide the first night's meal. Our second night, we have a big potluck dinner where everybody brings something, you know, throws it on the table, and everybody gets after it pretty good.
And nothing else, I promise you, you will not go hungry. We eat way too good.
I gain weight on each one of these things. Most people lose weight when they go camping. I gain weight every time.
Well, that, Well, I know that, you see Claudette quite a bit, so I'm sure that, you know, y'all can figure something out, but.
Oh yeah. It's good. Yeah. And he prints out a flyer to everybody that calls, yeah. you know, and ask that same question that you just asked. It's on the flyer, what, you know, suggest you bring or, yeah.
Yeah. There's, I have a small recommended list for people and,
okay.
You know, we recommend red headlamps. That's not a must. People can use white lights if they like, or green lights. Mm-hmm. Really and truly, the only reason for the red headlamp is for our own sake.
Right.
Well, because we turn lights off a lot. And when mm-hmm. you're using a red headlamp and you turn your light off, you're not night blind.
Right.
Everybody has an assumption that we're using the red headlamps because these critters can't see it. But that's not true.
Right.
We turn it off for our own. We use them for our own sake, because when you turn it off, you're not night blind. You can see totally fine. But mm-hmm. if you're using a white light, you turn it off, you're temporarily night blind for just a little bit.
Right.
And that's not good.
And that's not a good thing.
No. This is the real deal. It's legit, you know?
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. Two of the best ones, we done just an excursion. It was like 6 hours with this young guy who was, it was his bachelor party. His mm-hmm. friends put together, because he's all into Bigfoot now. They come from different places. He had no idea they were taking him to do this. They mm-hmm. met us at a location and they hadn't even told him yet. And they told Scott, we're going to let you tell him what he's fixing to do. So you should have seen the look on his face. He was wow. so excited. It was awesome.
It was great. I introduced myself and, told him a little bit about us real quick and told him we're about to carry you on a Bigfoot excursion.
Oh, man.
And,
wow.
He was like a child in a candy shop, buddy.
They had
a good time. They got to experience a lot of good things.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they were so nervous. The funniest thing to me, that they were so nervous after what they'd heard. One of the guys got a soda out of the cooler,
yeah.
and it was quiet. Then he popped that soda, and I tell you what, that about three of them left the building.
Oh, wow. That's great.
It was. Yeah. Well, they got down there with me, and they got to see some stuff. They got to hear one scream real good, real close to us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and the tree. We had a tree. By this time, we've all gathered up back around our campfire area. You know, we're just sitting around shooting the breeze, listening, watching things going on and everything. And a tree either gets thrown or pushed over right by his Jeep. And when that hit the ground, it had everyone's attention, including mine.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Scott always tells him, he says, don't run. Do not run, because at that time you become the prey and I will tackle you or do what I need to do to stop you from getting God. You know, he says, but when I tell you, if I ever tell you to run, you better try to stay caught up with me, because I'm out of here.
Yeah, wow. Well,
The trick is you don't yell run to at least 10 yards ahead, Scott. That's
the problem with that is, you know, for me is I take these folks out here. If I leave with 10, I'm supposed to come back with 10.
Yep.
That's bad for business if you lose one.
So read the fine print.
Or good for business, depending. I don't know. You know, it might be great for business.
Not my line of work.
Almost everybody has come back from these outfitters.
Yeah, right, almost. I like that. You should add that to the flyer. Almost everyone has returned safely.
That would be pretty good.
And I've told people too, I said, you know what, if a Bigfoot's going to rip off my arm, then hey, I'm going to call that a badge of honor. I mean,
what
you
a
know,
cool way to
hey,
go. I don't disagree. I don't disagree, Les. You know, there could be you could get hit by a bus or some dumb thing, somebody texting, you know, and then you get mowed over by some dickhead, right? Pass. I would much rather Bigfoot dismemberment or blood mist. One of those two.
Yeah, I'm so glad you said that. Can you explain that to Scott?
Scott, are you not down for that?
No, he's not down.
Well, I mean, we're not choosing it, but if we had to go, right? It's almost the modern equivalent of a knight's death. You know what I mean?
You know,
it's a noble death.
Doing what you want to do.
Right, and I've even said that I don't mind being abducted.
Yeah,
and
I'm not drawing the line there.
Yeah, no, we're going to watch you, and you tell us how it went later on. I heard Travis had a rough go.
I tell him about that abductus. But the thing is that I want to tell them that, and I've been told this too. If you tell them to bring you back, then they will generally.
Yeah,
and
yeah. I had on the side of that UFO too.
But how did those people know that?
Yeah.
Well,
they didn't come back.
Yeah, that's why they came back.
Yeah,
and I've talked to different people who I've got a really good friend of mine, Rich Thomas, up in Canada. who freaks out, but they take him quite a bit, but they bring him back, you know? And so it's one of those things where, you know, I've prayed about it. And I said, I want to go only if they'll bring me back. And also if I have a good memory of it, I want to be able to go and be strong about it. It's just like with you guys, you know, that if you go out and you're going to deal with the Bigfoot, you're going to deal with it. You're going to be strong. You're not going to be afraid of it. Right. You can't be a scared leader. And right. I can't call Kraft and say, well, you come, but, you know, you can only stay a certain way. You know, you can only stay a certain amount of feet from me. No, if you come, then I'm asking you to come to my house. And if you come to my house, then you're welcome to come to my house as long as you're bringing me back, you know. But once again, if you take me and I'm gone, hey, my wife will say, hey, guess what? My husband's been abducted.
Yeah, yeah, she'll know. Yep. You didn't leave a note. It's hard to do that from intergalactic space, right? You know, you don't have the receivers. But,
it doesn't translate.
Cool. Right, exactly.
Yeah. Right, it's not like I'm not going to just like leave because I, you know, hey, I've got a bed, you know, and I've got a wife. And see what I'm saying? So it is, in a way, it's a joking thing, but on the other end of that, I'm not joking.
You can do it.
And maybe the smarter move is, since you invited them, they come into your house, you don't go with them, and you promise to let them go.
Right, exactly. And that's kind of the thing. And so, I think Brandon, you know, my friend Nigel Impey over in the UK, you know, he's a positive reptilian. And so, you know, we have connections. And so it's just one of those things where, you know, you just have to be strong at what you do, you know, and I know Scott and Sheila is strong and, you know, hey, we're going to go out tonight. We are going to see a Bigfoot. Right. And that's something that you do every day. I go out tonight. I'm going to see some UFOs. You know,
the drive keeps you going. The drive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. And so, the possible dismemberment by Bigfoot. You live by the Bigfoot, you die by the Bigfoot. I don't know. I don't think it's bad. Maybe you sure.
See, I have that same thought process, and Scott gets mad when he tells me he says, you need to do this, and I'll say why.
Scott and Sheila, as you know, there's not a lot of Bigfoot dismemberments out there. I think that Bigfoot truly
they usually gather up all the pieces and take it with them. There's no evidence of Bigfoot
dismemberment. I honestly think it's a real thing. It's a respect thing.
We think that there's not, because for that to happen for someone, you know, they're not coming back.
They're not going to come back and tell a story.
I was going to say, you know how many missing 411 cases there are in the National Forest?
Smoky Mountain.
Yeah, and I think that, there, you know, definitely there's those ones that, like my friend Rich, I told him, I said, there's a reason why they're taking you. And they're bringing you back. There's you have something that they want. And I think that it's something that it's the kindness. If you ever notice that they take the kind people that they don't take these people that are just like, just mean and rotten. That for some reason they can't take the mean and rotten ones and just keep them, you know, there'd be less mean and rotten ones, but they seem to be taking the people who are intelligent, you know, right? Appalachian intelligence, right? They seem to take the people that are intelligent.
Full circle.
Nice right? plug.
But also that are kind, because, you know, you don't, in this community, there's not a lot of gruff people and mean and rotten and, you know, just, I don't know. That's just me. That's just kind of the way I feel. But it's the kind people are the ones that get to see them. Mm-hmm. You know, we're the ones that get to visit with them. Yeah. You know, it's because
that's like on our side of the coin there. A lot of times when we carry people out and we have one that he's behind a tree and he's peeking at us or anything like that, and or behind something, you know, and looking over it and watching us. Well, I kind of want him to go on so that everyone can see him leave on a thermal,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it's. To get to see him peek around a tree is one thing, but to get to see him walk off is something, you know, really unique that a lot of people can never say they've ever saw.
Right, right.
A lot of times I flush them a little bit. They'll be there, and I've already seen him through my thermal, and mm-hmm. I'll ease down in that direction where he's at with 100% hopes that he leaves out.
Right.
And they always have, except for one time. I did have one that didn't leave.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And I had a young fella with me. He's actually son of one of our good friends. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to go with me, and he eased out there with me. And we get to where this creature, this critter was at, and mm-hmm. look behind that big rock, and, well, he ain't there now.
Right.
So now I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Where did it all go? I get my big light out and turn it on, and he's moved about 15 yards away from us over there, and he's got his back to us. He's looking dead at us, and I put a mm-hmm. 1,250 aluminum light right in his face.
Right.
The young fella standing beside me, he's looking at it. He's like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
And he just turns his shoulders and turns his head back around and goes back to what he's doing. And I'm like, you know what? Let's just ease on out of here and leave him be. Whatever he's got, he's not willing to leave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the only time that's ever happened to us. But
oh, my God.
That's the question. If you walked up to it, if you see it on thermo, have you gone over to it? And it sounds like you do this all the time to get them to move on because it's a natural behavior, you know, almost like mm-hmm. a predictable behavior. But my God, whenever you've got one and you got its back, it's almost like Blair Witch type shit, right? It's over a corner turned around. You're like, oh, God.
Well, that you know,
one of them moments right there.
Yeah, and the same thing happened with Dave Baker. He came up here and he stayed at my house, and I said, Dave, I said, we call these craft now, because he said, I really wanted to see one. So in his mind, he was thinking, I want to see one. And that's about the time I said, well, there's one right there. And he's like, wow, really? And you can hear him on my video on my YouTube channel, just kind of not freaking out, but like he's like, yeah, there's one. I see it. And then he came up again, and we called him again, and it's a very kind of a angelic kind of a thing. I was going to ask y'all, do you ever get anything in your mind, anything that's kind of a peaceful feeling, or do you get when you see them, or do you get a scary feeling?
Yeah, or telepathic messages or anything?
Yes.
You definitely get the sense when one time at the same place we're going to take you, Brandon, up there.
Booger Alley.
We're in the graveyard. This was during the day, and we get out, and we had heard whooping, and I'd got something else on a good, really good picture, but I got out up there, and it's like the air was so thick, and there was no sounds, no birds, right. No nothing.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
when you know predators around.
Yeah.
And it was like, I told Scott, I said, we need to leave. We need to back out, and we need to leave. But before I done that, I said, okay, just let me hear one little thing. I was waiting for one little, and I got it, one little snap. I start taking pictures. And mm-hmm.
She's got a pretty good photo of one about 25 yards away from us.
But we didn't stay long.
And
wow.
When all that transpired that day, we're in the middle of that graveyard. We walked in there, and things felt different than normal.
Yes, yes.
But then all of a sudden, things got – and we, at this point in time, we don't realize this right that close to us. Things got heavy. I mean, like heavy. Pressure.
Yes.
Coming on. And that's when Sheila was telling me, she said, I think we need to go on ahead and leave like now.
Yeah.
Right.
You
get an empath, you know, and do y'all know, have y'all heard Dr. Hicks's story?
No.
In McKaysville, he's the doctor who... Yeah, he sold horrible. The babies.
He took us up there. It was horrible.
Yeah, taken at birth. So what?
It's either on Hulu or Netflix. I can't remember.
Yeah,
which
and
one.
And he would take these babies that were
supposed warning. To be abortions.
They were supposed to be abortions.
He told these young girls that they were midterm abortions, like they'd wanted to have an abortion.
This is in McKaysville.
And he would take them and deliver them at 36, 35, 36 weeks. And tell them that their baby died or whatever, and sell them out the back door for $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God!
And then there's a river
there's
right
people
there.
I know that their ancestors, they're tracing them back to Dr. Hicks.
They're called the Hicks babies.
And
wow,
these babies were just sold, and they weren't given a birth certificate for a while or whatever. It took like a couple weeks. So there's these couples. You can imagine driving like from McKaysville, Georgia, to we'll just say Kansas, with a new baby in your arms that's not. The lungs aren't fully developed because it's at 35 weeks and it dies. What are you going to do? You don't even have a birth certificate.
So
it's not even your baby.
I took Brandon and Kristen down there and I said,
it's creepy.
And I asked him, I didn't tell him the office, because when you drive through McKaysville, you don't quite see the office. The office is still there, There's nothing in it. But I took them. I said, I want y'all to just feel this place. And Kristen said, well, I feel something heavy. And I said, well, what do you feel? She said, it has to do with children. I said, yes.
Yes.
It does. And I felt that heavy feeling too. And it was just crazy. But yeah, when you go to McKaysville, if you ever like, I want to go see it.
And so I think it was due to like these DNA kits that come out, Ancestry.com and all of these things. I think it was due to that nature that these families started putting two and two together saying, hey, you're my mom or I'm related to you somehow. And
you know, this is another interesting thing that this made me think about when Les took us out there is not only is there wild stuff in the area, but also perhaps the people in the area are driven wild in their own senses in a way. If they don't maybe connect with Bigfoot and stuff, they're driven mad to maybe, I don't know, abort babies in the middle of it and sell them. So it kind of creates this mystique throughout the entire realm. I mean, really, in a lot of different ways. It's fascinating.
Yeah, and also behind it is the Okoye. You know, it's just right. It's right behind the office. So he would
80 steps. Yeah,
he would take the babies sometimes and just, you know.
Yeah. It's a horrible, horrible story. That adds a lot of energy to the area, which is it adds.
But
to
we were talking about heaviness. So, Brandon, when you took my dog and you were walking down that hill, remember I told you that hill that I had a heavy feeling right there. I was like, I don't want to go down there. And even Claudette's like, you know what? You need to. You can't be an investigator if you don't want to take the extra steps to walk down that hill. And then also when I come back, my back would feel really cold. There was just something about it. But it's literally just up this hill. It's up our hill. It's right behind Doug and Jane's. I mean, it's just up the way. And we just feel really weird.
Wow. It's a wild area, just full of, I mean, and there are holly trees everywhere out there, too. So this is an interesting thing, because the holly tree is what the druids used, of course, to cast their wands out of and make spells because of its magical properties that they notice in indigenous areas where it was growing. It's also why Hollywood is named the way it is, because it's a big spell casting industry, right? So everything is littered.
I didn't know that.
Well, look at your area. It's littered. I could see them at the place we were staying, and it was right there near y'all. So I just noticed where we were at, where we had awesome feeling too. There's just holly trees everywhere. So you'll see them out everywhere that you're at. And that is a very sacred, very powerful plant that's all in that area. So again, it's a chicken and egg scenario. Is the place strange inherently, or are the people then making it that way, or is it a feedback loop that then drives the people there to investigate this stuff and then perpetuate? Because it's not going to give you answers, it gives you more questions.
And plus, we have
it just ramps up, right? And so you get more inquisitive people out there asking more questions, then it's got to produce more things to ask questions about. It's fascinating.
And where we live, it's called Mineral Bluff, so you can actually smell the minerals in the air
after it rains,
especially after it rains.
You have this phenomenon as well. I had Gary King back on recently. He's a crop circle expert guy. He's been in thousands of crop circles.
Oh yes, we have crop circles
from the UK. And the one of the fascinating things about this is the correspondence to where they're located. I think in Wilkeshire, there's several hills that are very specific over there, and it kind of happens in a radius of the UK. And they do happen all over the world. But what's interesting about that is that it's sort of a chalky environment, and there's catacomb hills or caverns running all throughout underneath that area, right? So you've got subterranean caverns, but they're usually full of water in the wet season, right? So in the dry season, though, they're going to drain down a little bit, which creates an air cavity in there where now you've got water, air, and resonance, okay? But what that does is creates a telluric or a, they call it a piezoelectric type of a phenomena where there's electricity, there's static, there's an amplified feeling. And that's why crop circles, you know, sort of amplify and peak and swell. They start in the spring when the water table is really high. As the water table lowers, you know, perhaps one of the correlations is that at the same time they peak, that water table is real low. So you guys might also see times of year where this is sort of seasonal with you guys as well.
Did I show you the crop? Or did I show you the stone circle?
You pointed it out. Yeah. The old indigenous stone circle out there.
Yes. Now, yes. Scott and Sheila, did you know that there's a stone circle here?
No. Mm.
Yes. There's a stone circle literally a mile from our house.
It's on where Laurel Springs.
It's on Laurel Springs and Salem Road where they meet. Yeah.
Is it wild?
Yeah. And you can find it on Google Maps.
So can anybody just go out there and see it? Is it on somebody's property?
No, no, it's on somebody's property. That's the thing that we need. We think we know the bus driver for the school bus driver. So we think we know because their house is right next to it. So we're thinking we might be able to ask them. But man, those stone circles have been known to be portals.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And so that's probably why we see a lot of stuff. But also because of the Copper Hill, you know, with all the copper and all the caves. So it totally makes sense.
Yeah.
It all makes sense.
And that's why we're doing the event out there, man. You got to bring it to the people, you know, bring the people where the action is. And with the people who are out there on the ground and looking in the skies every night or out there taking folks out on these amazing excursions and know exactly how to communicate with these things and how to do it respectfully and responsibly. And that's the beautiful thing we hope to offer here is an experience like this with these folks.
Yeah. Yeah. And on that note, we've heard what you guys can expect on this from this event. So now let's go over to the man that's put this event together, Brandon Thomas, Expanding Realities. So while I didn't have a chance to research anybody else that was going to be here tonight, I was able to research Brandon, and I went on a binge on your podcast today. So I worked 10-hour shifts. All I did was listen to your podcast today.
How sick are you of my voice, though, right?
No, man. No, they were all awesome. There were so many things. I was like, I didn't have my notepad on me to write my notes down as I was going.
And most of the, especially the later ones, are coming with free transcripts. All of it's hosted on Patreon. I actually, you know, pay for that. So we do have the transcripts available for people for just that reason. We say a lot. There's a lot of information, some numbers, some book titles and things. So you can always go back and read that. And in each episode is linked the free transcript. So you can just click it and read it along with any of the episodes that you have. Yeah.
Yeah, man. The
valuable.
Scott Mackey, Avi Loeb, and you were with Daniel Beckman.
Yeah, my German counterpart, man. Yes. I love this dude.
I kept laughing because I thought it would be funny to call him David Beckham, and I thought he was British, not German. But
Right. Yeah, Daniel Beckman, the German.
Daniel Beckman.
David Beckham, which is very challenging. Yes, my mind is wrapped now. Thank you.
See what I kept doing at work? I was like, it's not David Beckham.
It's not.
Daniel
German.
Beckman.
He's German. Yeah.
He's German, not
He's
British.
He's so great. He does three shows, two in German, one in English. He had me on for he did a podcast marathon with several other people, and they did a whole massive amount of time with all these different guests every 30 minutes, and they had a whole English part. So I'm the first English guest. I hop on after 6 hours of German podcasting, and I hop in. And they let me in, and there's five dudes, and they're just German, 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 German. I'm like, what? And all of a sudden, it just instantly switches. And they're like, Brandon Thomas, hello. And I'm just like, wow. And it was fascinating how many languages these dudes speak.
Yeah.
And he's connected me with people all over the world on that side of the world. Like, Bulgaria, the Netherlands, Austria, all these folks over here in a part of the world that I didn't know any of that stuff. So the things that we're talking about over here – he's explaining over there and things I've never heard of, things you'd never think of, these underground caverns, these pyramids that are out there with all of this infrastructure underground with these resonant chambers that have all these qualities that were people just don't even know about. And so this dude's opened a whole new, literally a whole new side of the world for us.
I love all that audio stuff, especially when you're talking about piezoelectric like that. They make piezoelectric microphones, actually, too. And they use
the
those
quartz crystals in people's watches. That's what that is. Yes. There's no battery in that. It works off of magic as far as everybody's concerned. You know,
as we know, it's magic.
The fucking crystal that just, when you go like that, it just makes it keep working. Like, that's fascinating. Yeah.
It's like our buddies, another podcast I told you about, Cryptids of the Corn. Justin, the host of that, the mystery, is what he goes by. He's a biologist, so his big thing, you know, he works with fish a lot, but he talks about fungus a lot, mushrooms. I mean, the aeroplankton. I didn't even know there were living things in our upper atmosphere.
Oh yeah, there's actually been people like Les Durand that have caught videos of these beings, these gigantic jelly-like, squid-like entities that are the size of whales up in our upper atmosphere, swimming through what some people say is really above where we are, which is this 80,000 whatever feet. You get into a plasma rather than a less than light, lighter than air vacuum. You actually, it's the inverse. It's a dense plasma type of a field, and this is why. Also, there are some reports all over the world of this globs of goo, you know, that look like the blob that will just fall in people's farm fields or on their cars and stuff. And they have these huge globs that just like what the, it looks like whale fat or something. And allegedly, again, this is from kind of the sky beings, these organic entities that are just lighter than air.
I call them organic.
Aeroplankton.
But some are massive, like the size of Boeing jets and shit, or like krakens and stuff.
They look like manta rays and all those different animals.
Right.
Just jellyfish.
Another atmosphere.
It is crazy. But one of the things I wish I could have said while you guys were talking with Dr. Loeb was, you know, he kept saying, you know, we did all this research and nobody wants to believe the government, even though, like, dude, it's not that nobody believes you. It's who was delivering your message, man. Nobody believes a word the federal government has to say anymore. I mean, politics worldwide the world is really, really going downhill, in my belief. I mean,
no one would disagree with you there.
I mean, just our neighbors to the north, in their very parliament now, they have a living, breathing Nazi today, now.
Yeah, the Nazis are everywhere, though. They infiltrated after World War II when everybody divvied them up in paperclip, right? The Germans were not the Nazis. So that's what all this stuff is. Even the father of propaganda, Edward Bernays, his nephew owns Netflix. So German propaganda is alive and well, my friend.
Oh, my gosh.
Hitler died in Argentina. He actually drowned in the ocean as a fat old guy in Argentina, fathering many, many children as well. And there's a ton of German
which is where
in South America, where all they speak is
true. Yeah. Town.
Which is where Hitler escaped to. Can we all agree that
yes.
he didn't die in a bunker?
No.
Yeah.
But
played a role, just like Epstein. He's out living his life somewhere fine. And, and these figures get moved around.
Don't forget P. Diddy. What is his name? P. Diddy. What is there? Is that the right
that's
name?
That's the current distraction from the infrastructure falling apart from hacking, right?
Yes. Did you guys know about the...
y'all have fun with it. That's all. Just get your popcorn. You know.
Did you guys know about the port in Turkey?
No.
Four bridges demolished? Were, like, destroyed on the same day all across the world. Yeah.
That's
and
strange.
The same way. What, is it? Is it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's a coincidence, right?
Yeah.
I always say stuff like that too. Well, you might think it's crazy. Well, not. I mean, not really. You know, when you talk about, like, you know, our community, things are not crazy, but, you know.
I think that's what it does. It encourages us to get out from behind the screens and come to a Bigfoot event, let's say, and to get more grounded,
exactly.
as it were. You know, and I had a conversation with Alexander Petikoff recently, and we were talking about AI and how dangerous it is and how it's going to be really tough for researchers to really determine anything with any validity because of how well AI engines are, and especially these realistic engines now that are creating not only entities but entire environments that are undetectably real, and it's getting very, very hard. And so you can even see the obvious fakes being passed around as real, and we'll kind of call bullshit on those or talk about them because they're fun. But now really where it's at is getting from behind the screens, getting out of paying attention to the media and news because they've been lying to you forever. And now it's about tending your garden. And that has to do with everything in your physical reality. I mean, from your own mind and how it works, but really getting amongst your family, taking your kid fishing rather than squatch fishing, by the way, rather than, you know, bitching at the news instead of going to their games or things like this, right? There's choices being made here. And I think as things ramp up in the circus, you have the opportunity to pay attention to the dangling keys and let your life slip by. Or you can, instead of antagonizing over an AI photo might be real, a Bigfoot or not, come out into the woods with us and see for yourself.
Yeah.
Take your own
photo. Yeah, that's me. I mean, I've got people in, for some reason, it's Murphy. People in Murphy just do not like, they don't believe in UFOs or something. I don't know. Blue Ridge is great. My Blue Ridge buds, they're all great. But people are like, oh yeah, this is this. And I'm like, dude, don't get so caught up in the blurry UFO pictures or the contrails. Don't worry about that. worry about the shit that you can see and the stuff that is actually out there. I said, because if you don't like one of my pictures, I have 150 others. Oh, give me a break.
Dude, Ryan, I can vouch for this dude that you should have him on by himself. He'll share screen and you just get coffee and hang out and let him just show you all of these pictures, videos. It's a phenomenal episode. This is actually how the entire event got set up, is because Kristen Bolt, my events partner, heard our conversation together on the show there. Reached out to me and said, hey, I'd like to take you up on going out there to hang out with Les, because we talked about it. I was like, dude, I got to come hang out with you on your porch and see this shit. And then that turned into what we're here talking about, you know? So it's been this amazing synchronistic path that's guiding us all together. And I mean, really think about this. When I stopped kind of being pissed off at the world, you know, getting over the Paul Revering, changing from conspiracy theorist to conspiracy analyst, meaning that, yeah, I'll take a look at it, but I'm not going to embody it for myself and allow it to steer my disposition. That transition translated now into the overcoming this idea that we're just all going to sit here and pass videos around forever. Maybe we go make videos together in the real world.
Right. Yeah, that sounds better. And, you know, the more that you talk to me about the world being a hologram or the world being a simulation, there's a lot of people actually who believe the same way. So you know.
I'm a big fan of critical thinking, and that's kind of what these kind of conversations do for me. Flat Earth, if you can sit down and have an awesome Flat Earth conversation, God, that'll inspire some critical thinking, because you can really sit down and do that. And what it is, and there's a beautiful analogy of a tree. A friend of mine, Stephanie Patel, talked about, and she said, there's a tree. You can picture this tree 360 degrees. You can see it from any angle, but you are staring at one particular part of it. Now, let's say there are flowers on the left side of the tree from your perspective. Somebody is on the opposite side of the tree. Let's say Les is over there. I say, dude, Les, do you see the flowers on the left side of the tree? And he goes, no, they're on the right side. And I go, no. Now wars are fought over this kind of shit, right? But really what's occurring is we're just seeing two different sides of the same damn thing, right?
And yes.
It's the elephant with the blind scientists, right? All the blind guys got to six different blind guys touching different parts of the elephant, all describing it, and they all described a different creature, right? But that's the point here, is if we can transcend that, right? If we can just say, maybe what we're all seeing is something different, but we can all talk about what you're seeing and what I'm seeing and say it's cool, then maybe there's something here bigger than all of that that brings us all together. And that's, I think, the point. It's not micro-focusing on, well, Bigfoot's a hominid and he's got nothing to do with UFOs, because there's a lot of cases where that's not the case, right? But it being willing to sort of view the tree from different angles is very important.
It's nice to bring people up here, because it's like, you know, it's like, hey, Scott and Sheila, come on up here. You know, hey, come up here in the mountain and hang out with us. You know where we live, and let's have a beer and just hang out and call some UFOs and maybe call some Bigfoot while we're doing it, and just have a good old time. And that's, you know, and I send out the offer to anybody, because people don't just, as, you know, y'all know, people don't just drop by the house up here, do they?
You gotta want to get out there.
You gotta drive up here.
This doesn't happen up here in the mountains. I mean,
people don't just drop by. Right. So if you want to come up here and hang out, then you really want to come up here and hang out. And and that's what we do. And so when you do, it's kind of like we have a lot of fun, and that's what it's all about. But you say, oh, yeah, Les, what you're talking about is, yeah, it's true, man. It's just like Dave. Dave's like, man, it is real. It is real. And you know, when, and I'm sure y'all get the same thing. Y'all get non-believers. And it's a gold, it's a golden moment when they're like, you know what? Yeah. Or it's a golden moment when I have somebody from Murphy reach out to me and private message me and like, yeah, I've seen some stuff. I'm like, yeah, you know, that's great. It's just, we got to get rid of that stigma. We just have to get rid of that stigma.
That's getting better. I do think it's getting much better. People.
Yes, I think
so. I'm not saying they don't still look at me and say, really, you believe in Bigfoot? And then, you know, I don't care anymore. Yes, I do. And I'll tell them, you know, I'm not going to argue with them. But they'll go back and forth for a minute. And then they'll say, this always happens. Well, this one time.
Yeah. This
one time. Like
That's the thing. It's the equivalent of what's wrong. And then they go, nothing. What's wrong? Nothing.
Yeah.
What's wrong? Well, it's just that today, and on my way home from work, and boop, 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 right? Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, it's
there.
You start invitation for connection. That's what that kind of stuff is. Because especially after they get over your barrier, that's really testing, because you're a mirror to them at that point. Like, I think this in all reality, we're just a mirror to each other. And so when someone gets twisted at you, that's because you're triggering something in them that they see in you that they haven't yet fully embodied. And that's freedom and authenticity most of the time. And so when you show up authentically for yourself, you're actually doing it as a mirror to all of those that need the permission. You know, you're treating portals or doors as smile cues, right? That's like a big thing neurologically that you could train yourself just to smile every time you walk through a door. Maybe you're the only one in the doctor's office that smiled walking through that room full of people that aren't happy to be there, and you just changed everything. And so it's these little subtle things like that that make the biggest damn difference.
Right. And, you know, we as a society just need to start changing things, you know. Like if I walked in that same office and I was like, hey, how are y'all doing? What's up? You know, they might look at me kind of crazy, but they might start talking, and, you know, and that's the thing.
In my
Murphy group, right? You know, they're sending out recipes and, you know, the internet was out or there's a crash today. But guess what? I put my UFO stuff in there and they start talking, which is great, you know, which is fantastic. Even they're like, well, that's not this or that's not it, but they're talking. They're talking, which is great. That's the idea, you know. And like, why do you post stuff here? Because I live here, dude. I live here. I'm looking up there, right? And so that's the thing. And so it's just a conversation starter, you know, and it's just how you talk. It's just how we talk about it. You can't just say, well, it is what it is because it is. It's like, no, we'll come up here and see it for yourself, you know, and that's one thing that, you know, that's good with Brandon's thing is the event is that people get a chance to come out here and see what we see on a daily basis. You know, and it's going to be a great thing because it's going to open up a lot of minds, and that's just part of it, you know. And for me, it's definitely, there's no conspiracy. People just say, well, what do you think they are? Or what do you think this? And I say, well, I just think that I need better cameras, you know, or I need this or that. That's really all I do. I try to say what I've seen. And then I say, well, I think that they're here to take, you know, that they just want to keep an eye on us and take care of us. But I don't say that they're from Pleiades or they're from Lyra or they're from China. I don't want to say that because that puts that into your mind.
Well, you know, I talked about that they could be deceiving you by saying that they're from somewhere else, but really they came via time travel so that you don't know that time travel is that easy. So we can't, like, let's just be very open with all of it, right? You know, you just got to ask the questions, yeah? Even they may have a motive. I'm just saying, stay open-minded, people, you know, stay inquisitive. Right. Could be the next level deception.
That is one thing that this podcast has done for me. And I kind of heard you talking about it. I think, I can't remember who it was with. It's kind of like, you know, the killing of your old self. So you can actually adopt new ideologies and,
yes.
So my new philosophy is guarded heart, open mind, always.
Right.
You know, I want to guard my heart from anything with ill intention, but I want to keep my mind open because if you know everything, you can't ever learn anything. You know?
Exactly. Right.
So
right.
That's my take on it. That's like when people ask, like, and we love to ask people, what do you think Bigfoot is? And,
you know,
I love hearing everybody's, you know, answer to that because they have different experiences and that's their reality, you know.
100%.
And, you know, I get people too that also bring up religion. And I said, you know what? I am a Christian. I believe in God. I said, I believe in Jesus. I said, they're like, oh, well, you know, they think that they're fallen angels. That's what UFOs are. And they're like, well, I believe in the KJV Bible. And I was like, well, guess what? I do too. Brotherly love. How about, you know, Hebrews 13:2, or how about Ezekiel's vision 1:27, how Ezekiel saw Jesus coming down in a metal object. It's in the Bible, 1:27, Ezekiel. And then things unknown, Jeremiah 33:3. There's things unknown. So as soon as I did that, they're like, amen, brother. Because somebody said, tell me about Jesus. And I was like, oh, I can tell you all a lot about Jesus. Brandon even knows this. I had my own Christian radio station. But nice. I still, you know, because God created the UFOs too.
This is what's so interesting about it is it's the same look. It's a look at the same tree. But again, now we're doing it on time scale. So now it's time stacked. You know, we think that we're just looking at something from our perspective in our time, which we are. We're adding that slice to the observational pie. Right.
But right. And that, that doesn't put anybody's belief down. It's just saying, hey, you know, I believe the same thing you do. I mean, you know, I don't put anybody's belief down. I just try to give the best evidence that I can give, that I can provide. And if you don't like it, that's fine. Whatever. You know, I'm not.
You don't have to participate.
That's it.
Right. Yeah. Take it or leave it. Take it or leave it.
You know, Brandon, that also, I think, in that way you're talking about with time, the us being three-dimensional creatures, I think if the theory of time being the fourth dimension holds true, you know, string theorists, they believe that, then that may be why we have such a hard time, or no pun intended, you know.
What a really bake your noodle. I've had several quantum physicists and guys like that on, because, you know, it's expanding reality. We talk about all kinds of shit. And there's a buddy of mine named Dr. Doug Maskey. He's actually the only guy that Dr. William A. Tiller ever co-wrote a book with, this famous physicist, right? And so this dude, he lives down in Austin. He actually came up to our house and installed this really cool unit here. I'm actually going to give him a plug. He has a wish unit that's this thing, and it's got a little blue light on it. It actually harmonizes your home. It's a space harmonizer. It's a quantum thing. It's a wish unit, the World Integrity Space Harmonizer. And you can get this at coherentspaces.life. That's right. And this thing is beaming out, not only on this radio program or whatever, all of my episodes, it's beaming out all the time. And so this dude, you know, brings these quantum physics subjects up to bat here. And one of the most fascinating ones is when you talk about retrocausality. Now, that is fascinating to me, because what it means is that everything that happened in the past and the future, you are creating right now. Now, we sort of can see this with our future, right? We can say, okay, yes, if I work out today and I have a healthy routine, I will X, Y, and Z Newtonian my way to a fitter body, right? Because we know that time is our ability to observe change over duration. So things that need time, that's how we observe change, which is why sort of we experience time as the answer. Now, in quantum physics, what it says is that what you're experiencing right now directly not only influences but creates at the same exact moment your past and your future. So when you can think about a childhood trauma, the idea goes is that when you go to your five-year-old you, when your mom yelled at you whenever you wrote on the wall or crayons on the wall, and that really scarred you, for some reason as adults, we need to go back as our kids selves and go, hey, little buddy, it's going to be okay, kind of thing, right? This is why I never painted and followed my art careers, because my mom yelled at me when I was five, and now that held me back, right? And it sounds silly, but this is what psychedelic experiences are all about. This is what trauma healing is all about, is retrocausality. It's actually at its deepest a quantum physics technique, because what you're doing is you're grabbing your little you, you're bringing that memory in that moment, which carries all of the emotion with it, that hypersensitivity, as they call it, and you bring it to your calm state now. And you let him look around your house and you say, dude, I can draw all over any wall I want. Look, my wife and I painted this on the wall. Here's your awesome wife. No one's around here telling you what you can and can't do. You can't watch cartoons all day. You can do whatever you want. And you're doing it great. And look at all the friends you have. This is how you change, because now your five-year-old self feels safe. Now, did that happen because he felt safe then? No, it happened because he needed you to feel safe now so that he could feel safe then. This is the trippy part to this whole damn place. So that by any of this measure, then when you change you, you change everything. This is why the whole concept of tending your garden or being at one with you, mindfulness exercises. This is why I created my journal back here. I drew this thing, hand drew it. It's a journal that walks you through a process, and these are available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And this is actually something I drew on an architecture table. It's got all these little nodes and things in this, and its whole purpose is to get to know you. And it's called mindful expansion, but when you notate that, it comes down to me, right? So you can say every day I spend time with me. And we have a whole expansion journal series. There's seven in the thing, and they're all different. But what this means is where you go within, and I found this so important for me. There's a wonderful quote, St. Thomas Ignatius. He is quoted actually at the beginning of this book. I kind of set it up as why. And he is quoted as saying, roughly, just give me a child from the age of seven, and I will show you the man. And what that means, that's it. And then what that means, though, is that there's an impressionable time in your life where your entire life is decided from. So at that young moment, your whole personality is formed, your fears, your traumas, all the things that you're willing to do, your limitations, all of that, right? So if you can access that part of yourself, then you can alchemize that or change it, right? To make it more serving to what you want now, rather than staying in this fear mentality that you weren't even aware of that you had, which is the trippiest part about all this shit. So when you do this and you really go within and you just start to look at yourself, what you'll find is your reality does change, but it amplifies in the things that you're scared about so that you can really affirm them. Let's say a Bigfoot charging you, for instance, or a UFO taking you, for instance. These are things that can change you, but also offer you an opportunity to see yourself at a deeper level. Now, when you do this,
that's right.
Again, you change the entire place. You change all of this place. An event like this is done out of actual intent for us to come together. I'm making no money on this. None of our presenters are getting paid, but I'd love to. The whole point of this is to get everybody together in the coolest damn place we can, made for as little as we can. And that's the whole point. Now, we'll go into, I've got some pictures and things, and we'll show you some stuff. But to finish this off here, it's really about your internal disposition. And so when I look at the reality around us and I see how many distractions, how many loud noises and bright lights and flashing colors and salacious things that are easy to get drawn into, man, and then it shows me that the way is the other way, right? That it means that there's a lot of things going on out here that are distracting me from the real work or the real purpose or where I can find my real joy, which is determining what I really want here. Rather than being reactionary, I'm being pro-action. I'm living in a participatory universe. Now, the journal and why I did this is simply based on the fact that your day, every single day you wake up, think of yourself as Thomas Aquinas saying, okay, well, what if I take this little bitty part of my day and instead of getting right on my phone and start scrolling or get right on the internet and look at my emails because I'm late or whatever, what if I just took those a few moments here and just wrote myself a note about how great I'm doing and how proud I am, how much I love my partner, how grateful I am that I don't feel like I can't draw on a wall if I want to, you know, just little things like that. And when you do this, what you've done is you've apprehended that part of your day. You've shown yourself the man or the woman for the rest of the day, rather than this reactionary person who's sitting there swiping. That's how you greet your day, right? Maybe you just change it a little bit. Walks in nature are huge. There's 7 points in here that I kind of go over how you set the tone, how I set the tone. Simply water before coffee, walk outside, no phone for the first hour, journal, read, things like this, right? It's little things to where really now what you're doing is now you're the alchemist. This is where you're not getting shit from somebody else. This is where you spend time with you. You know, in here, there's a moon phase tracker, all that kind of stuff, so that you can really get in tune, gratitude, 4 questions you ask yourself every day, all this kind of little stuff, right? And it's simply so that each of us can take a look inside and say, okay, we've gotten to this point. Let's say that we consider retrocausality as a potential. And let's say that I can change everything. I can change the way that I felt about something back then to what I'm doing now. Fascinating story about a Karen Holton that was on the show. She talked about she had a really tough time with her mom. It was a recent episode, 2 back. She had a really tough time with her mom growing up, never gave her the attention she needed. So she made up a scenario in her mind. You just heard this, Ryan. Thank you.
This is exactly what I was thinking as you said all this.
Well, see, this is locked in, dude. Okay. She made up a scenario in her mind that her mom, every day she got home from school, no matter what, made tea for her. And they sat down and had a little tea party themselves. I'm getting the chills thinking about this.
Yeah.
And then when she had a particularly rough day, she would come home and her mom would break out the good tea set and she would have real special cookies for it, right? And she loved it. They would laugh. She listened about her day, everything. Now, this didn't happen. It never happened in reality. But in her mind, she lived this every day because her mom was so distant with her, right? It's what she wanted out of life. Now, when she got older, her mom would say to her she's an older lady. She said, sweetheart, do you remember the tea parties we used to have every day when you'd come home from school?
Yeah.
Now, if that didn't make all the hairs stand up on your back,
yeah,
I don't know what will.
When she said of course, when she was saying it, she was breaking
she's
down.
Crying. She's crying, yeah.
I could feel the emotion in it. I was just like, my good. I got chills when she said that. I was like, my goodness, she manifested.
Well, and it's so deep that really it's the way you think, feel, and act towards anything else in your reality is you are literally, think of it like this. You're the director. You're writing the script for everything around here. Right. I did this in my own life with my mother-in-law. Every time she would call, we'd go, ugh. Right. And get the eye roll thing. And even my wife, there's just challenges, right? There's trauma with all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we changed the script. I said, you know what? Let's instead of that go, man, she's doing great. She's calling us with great news right now. She's actually really stood on her own 2 feet. She's figured out her self-esteem. She's moved forward. She's made great decisions. And guess what that phone call was? It was her saying, you know what? I'm dropping this man that's been a huge toxic issue in our lives, which we all said, hallelujah. And she went to go fly out to Peru for a month to do ayahuasca. Now, am I saying that we did that? I don't know. What I am saying is that just as the Dr. Dwayne Dwyer quote is, say that three times fast, when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. And so right. really on a whole huge level, you're creating all of this. Now, Scott and Sheila's beautiful relationship is because you can tell that they reinforce each other's love in each other's presence, but also within each other's, the way that they hold each other in their minds and their hearts. And you can, it's evident mm-hmm. in your relationship. You can see this. Yes. This is the same way you can see with disgruntled relationships, any sort of tension. It's mirrors to each other, right? And so you can tell that there's true bonds there. It's you can feel it. So that's with true. This as well, anyone though can also feel your intentions, can feel your how you feel about them. This is why when somebody gets a feeling that they're thinking about you, or oh, I just thought about you, and then you called. Yeah, man, this is much more interconnected than we think, and I really think it all has to do with you. Everyone listening to this, your voice, your words are the things that create your reality. So I would take inventory on what I am saying out loud about my reality and just really pay attention to it. What I did with this was I created a thought ninja. He is a little tulpa that I had in my mind. And this is part of the journal as well. There's a release and an attract section. And what he does, his whole job is to be an energetic bouncer for my mind. It has a certain disposition that I'm meeting. And if thoughts come in at not that vibration, he cuts them out with his dope ass katana, backflips and shit. It's real orchestrated. So it's visual for me to know that something occurred. But I set the boundary. I said, hey, I'm not thinking of this dumb shit anymore. None of these repetitive thoughts, these small-minded things, these limiting things, or why do I even think that, right? This repetitive shit. And when you really inventory your thoughts, your life changes, man. You change.
That's true.
There's emotions that associate with that then therefore you're writing the script of your life.
Yeah.
And by the way, I thought Alexander Petikov was the bad guy from James Bond video game on Nintendo 64.
I mean, can we cut that as a clip and give it to him, please?
Yes, please. Do you remember
the
that game?
Fucking dude ever. Yes, of course, GoldenEye. We grew up around the same time. That's
GoldenEye,
beautiful.
Yes. Yeah, I'm 40. So, yeah.
41. There you go. I'm right there. Yeah.
So, Brandon, I think I'm in a boogeyman. I think because it's getting kind of cold out here.
Yeah,
dude.
And you got UFOs coming in. It's cold. Yeah. Les, thank you so much, man. I think we're going to share some stuff about the event, and then I'll let everybody go. Right. Thanks so much, man.
Hey, yes. Thank you too. And it's good seeing you too, Scott and Sheila. And I'm looking forward to seeing y'all more too.
Yes, all right, sir.
You too.
All right. Y'all be good.
Hey, thanks for being here, Les.
My nose is running. It's cold.
Go get warm.
All right.
Love you, brother. Bye. And I know we've been on here for a while, man. I just wanted to make sure we got all your questions in and stuff and then shared some stuff from the event.
If you guys just want to take the next little bit and share about the event, anything you need to tell you about out there.
Let's do that because this has been awesome. And I know we're going to get the Grangers to rest there. They're up late with us. And I thank everybody for hanging out. Ryan, thank you so much, man, for this opportunity. This show is so cool, dude. I'm going to get you over on our side as well, dude. And this is the brotherhood. This one's so cool about this. It's brought so many people together.
Yes.
So want to mention the audio only audience, that there's a link in the show description that will lead you over to the video version of this show. And in that you can see what we're seeing right now, besides all the handsome and beautiful people here. Sheila just got her hair done. It looks awesome, by the way. She just changed it. It looks great. It looks great no matter what she does with it, but there you go. So that's reason enough. And we got a spit take out of her. Just that's reason enough to go over to the video version. So on that note, I will point your attention here to expandingrealitypodcast.com. Now, we are on the specific events page. There are three different things we do right now, which is the show Expanding Reality, our publishing house, which we do publish all of our journals through, called Redigional Publishing. And that's I figured all words are made up, so I'll make up one too. And Redigional means ridiculously original. And that's sort of our motto. We empower and amplify the voices and visions of ridiculously original authors and creators. So if you guys are interested in any of that, hit us up on the website as well. There's emails and all that associated with it. But we are here to talk about the excursions part of our page here, which hosts for now the Befriending Bigfoot event. We're going to talk about the place here in a minute because you guys are definitely going to want to see that. But the planned itinerary is located right up here, right up top, and you can sort of see all the cool things that we have going on. You guys are going to come in on a Wednesday here at 4 in the afternoon there. We do have shuttles to the airport. It's only about a two-hour drive, something like that. So we will be picking y'all up. And that's the thing. Just get your ass there. You don't need to rent a car if you don't want, but you're welcome to. We're not going to tell you what to do, but we're doing our best to provide as much value as we can. Now, we are going to hang out, have our dinner here. And then our first presenter straight out the gate is author and researcher Trey Hudson. He wrote a book called The Meadow Project, Ryan, are you familiar with him? Trey Hudson? I'm going to get you hooked up, dude. He's unbelievably cool. We'll get you hooked up for damn sure, dude. He's amazing. So he's going to come in, and he's also personal friends of the great and powerful Scott Sheila Granger. And they are going to be also presenting the first night. We are doing that on purpose because the next day we are going to go get the shit scared out of us at Booger Alley after these amazing stories the night before. So it is literally a, yes, remember that thing we were talking about less than 12 hours ago? Here, we're here now, right? Also, that same night, want to point out here that Trey Hudson is going to be bringing out his night vision and thermal imaging. Now, if you remember, and we're going to see some pictures here in a minute, this thing butts up. It's a 26-acre ranch, but it butts up to the Chattahoochee National Forest. Is that right, Scott?
That's right.
Thank you. Like the song? Okay. So we have basically an infinite backyard that we get to go play with all these cool toys and stuff in this incredibly mysterious area, right? So the next day, we will be waking up doing breakfast, and we're going to go hiking out there at Booger Alley, and we're actually going to spend the day. So we're going to do some lunch out there, and we've got full day of exploring, and it's just going to be incredible. That evening, we are going to have a presentation with a guy named Owen Hunt. Now, Owen Hunt is a comedian who is going to come up, do some amazing comedy. He's a very great comic. He's also got another comic friend who's going to come as well, and they're going to basically do a set that's a few different sets, and then Owen is going to come out in a Bigfoot outfit and roast humanity from Bigfoot's perspective. So he's an incredibly cool comedian. He's a great guy. And then that evening as well, we do have Dave Baker, who is Lester Rant was just talking about. Now, to point that out as well, you can find the show Encounters on Amazon, but I know also it just recently made it to Tubi. And if you guys go to Tubi, you can actually see the show Encounters. And season one, episode three, is Lester Rant. And the last two episodes on season one is Dave Baker. You can actually go see his story. They gave the guy two episodes for the craziness. So he is going to be out there as well. And then that evening, we are going to definitely be doing some late night UFO summoning, some sky watching. We also have instruments and stuff. I was a touring musician for 12 years. So we're going to be jamming and things like that out there. We're going to have drums and stuff. Next day, Friday, day three, we're going to wake up. We're going to do some more brekkie. Might as well. We're going to feed you. We have awesome folks who are helping us with the, we don't call them caterers. He's an improviser. This dude can do anything, but he's one of these like cooks that you'd want on a wagon train, you know what I mean? So this dude is awesome. He's like Cookie, right? In City Slickers, but got him. Oh, and also a comedian, by the way. So we are gonna then that day go kayaking in Tennessee, guys. We're gonna have lunch out there and then a hike out in Tennessee as well. So like I said, we're hitting three different states in this one event. Now, on day three, after we get back from kayaking and all that in Tennessee, we've got Chris Matthew, who's an amazing guy. He runs, of course, Forbidden Knowledge News. He's also a documentary filmmaker. His film, Occult Louisiana, just came out on Tubi as well. So you guys can go Tubi for a couple hours and check out most of the people that'll be there. As well, then, that evening, we have Alexander Petikoff, not the Bond villain from, from the GoldenEye game from in it, what, Super NES, right? Super Nintendo?
Yeah. 64.
64. Yeah. That's right. My God. Okay. Throwback. Not him. Alexander Petikoff, amazing filmmaker, researcher. He's part of the Little Monsters crew. He also has his Bigfoot Beyond the Trail series that just blew up. He's got like 5 million plays on YouTube. He's fascinating dude. You can catch him in between journeys. And that's actually the thing. He's going to be filming down the road from us, which is the only reason he's able to make this event. I mean, we just happen to be, right? So the next day, Saturday here, we're going to get up and we're going to take you out to North Carolina. So we're going to go out there all day, hike around. And what we're looking forward to on that hike is sort of a rafting experience, but with a hike. So we're going to get dropped off on one part, hike part of the Appalachian Trail, eat lunch in the middle of that, and then get picked up on another part and then head back. So that should be a cool way to do that. Les Durant's going to be presenting that evening, as well as we have Preston Dennett. Have you ever heard of Preston Dennett, Ryan?
I have not.
Amazing author, dude. He's written like 32 books, I think. I usually have a stack of them here, but he's wonderful. He actually lives in Blue Ridge, right down the road from y'all. Amazing dude. Encyclopedia of cases. I mean, I'll get you connected again. And then we're going to be doing some more late night hike with diapers, I believe, because we're going to be shitting ourselves by the time we get to this point in the evening. And then, of course, Sunday, we're going to cap everything off with a Bigfoot expedition or Sasquatch Museum out there, Expedition Bigfoot. It's got a DNA lab, the largest cast collection of any of these kind of things, one of the coolest oddity museums ever. Just right down the road, Dave Vicar runs that thing, and he's going to come hang out with us as well. And then that evening as well, we are going to have Dave Zed from Generation Zed and I are going to have a presentation. We're going to allow people the last evening, if y'all want, share your experience, you know? We got a lot of documentary filmmakers, authors, things like that, that would love to add your experience to the accoutrement. So please share if you'd like. So that's sort of the rundown of the events. We're going to be out hiking in between all that, all sorts of crazy cool stuff. Let's cap it here with just a couple of pictures from the event space itself so you guys can sort of put yourself in the mind of where we're going to be at here. Sugar Boo Farms, Blairsville, Georgia here. Let's check out the farmhouse real quick. This is sort of the backdrop. This is where we're going to be. Now, we can run through just a couple of pictures, and I'll just kind of chat about it as we do so. So again, this is a 26-acre ranch that we have full run of. We have everything on staff on site. We have multiple options for this as well. And like I said, guys, we have done the best we can to get the highest quality everything and bone out the price. We're not interested in making money on this. We want to get everybody together. That is absolutely evident in this. So the quality of the presenters that we have, as well as we're going to have merch available. We actually have a bunch of cool stuff that I'll show you here in a minute. But we're going to be right here. So here's sort of just the balcony overview look out to the National Forest in the back here. Another point here is that we're outdoor folk, right? We're going to be doing our presentations outside on this huge area here with this amazing screen that has a projector, full audio system, everything that we need there under the full canopy of stars out here. And we're doing our best to do it as close to new moon as possible. So it'll be a very dark sky out there. Les will be running around pointing out UFOs the whole time. And then you've got an upper balcony part. So really, when you look at this, you've sort of got this upper balcony. You've got a fire pit type massive area here. Then you've got the downstairs, the stage type area with a big pavilion, hammocks and things back here, and then a pool directly below that. So you've got this whole tiered system. And then the cabins are way down here. So it's a massive, sprawling sort of place that's, again, under a beautiful sky. And this is where we're doing this damn thing. So you're going to see Scott sunbathing right out here.
Absolutely. About
7 o'clock in the morning. And it's got, you know, pool, jacuzzi, all this kind of stuff, guys. So we're doing it right. And this is the backdrop. You know, this is the place that we're doing this at. Now, check out the grounds real quick. And this is, there we go. This is sort of the layout and the setup. It's we've got the main farmhouse, which is kind of going to be for staff and such. And then we have these amazing little bungalow. Would you call that a bungalow?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Little cabin. There's 15 cabin of these bungalow things out there. And we have a variety of options. So if you want to do sort of a semi-private thing, we absolutely have that available. If you want to do camping, we have that available. If you want to sleep on a couch, we have done our best to price everything to where we can just give you a corner of the room if you want to lay as far as all the things are concerned. Another cool thing about this place that I love, the guy that took us on tour out here, is that he said there's a creek that runs the length of the property. So if you get lost, just go until you hit water and then just follow it and it'll get you back to the house. Now, I like that for a bunch of people wandering around out in the dark on a place out here, but it's absolutely incredible. There are animals. We've met the donkey and all the goats, and it's a full setup. I mean, it's the full deal, and they'll all be out there the whole time we're out there. So this is the backdrop, guys. This is where we're doing it. Befriending Bigfoot. That's going to be May 15th through the 20th there, Blairsville, Georgia. Make sure you go check it out. All the Book Now things are available all over the website, but you can check it out on the page, as well as we have the upcoming events. You know, we've got Superstition Mountains, Yes, Egypt. We have a dear friend of ours, Larry Paul, runs the American Pyramid Association out there. He's got an incredibly cool thing we're going to go do. Mount Shasta, Mount Adams. Like, this is just the beginning. So definitely do not, though, want to miss this one. I can say that. This is a once-in-a-lifetime thing. As Scott was saying, it's so unique in the way that, yes, at some conferences you will go, you will pay whatever they ask, you will go to a hotel lobby or a ballroom or something like that, and then they will get up, they will present, they will speak, and then they will go sit behind a booth that if you don't, you know, line up, pay for the book, you know, in some cases, maybe they're kind of cool about it. But everybody's compartmentalized. Everybody's in their honeycomb little area. No one's hanging out together going, ooh, did you hear about this case? And yeah, man, I'd like to add to that as well. You get a very snippet version of all the people that you really like to have a really cool connection and interaction with. Well, here, that's the whole point. You know, we're going to all be hanging out together, having coffee together, hiking together, going, dude, did you see that? Looking through each other's thermals together. There's no sort of separate, there's no VIP tent, as it were. Everybody's VIP there. That's the whole point, is let's get together, let's get amongst them. You get all of us together, which is cool as shit, man. So, Brian, that's about it, man. If you had any questions, I'd love to answer them. We do have, like I said, some merch available that I can show people. A pin with the logo on it. There you go.
Oh, nice.
And this is one of those little PIN pins. And we have a patch for the, you know, ERE, the Expanding Reality Excursions. And then we do have these stickers that we had made as well for the event logo specifically, and these glow in the dark. So that'll be really cool.
They oh, nice.
Right, too. Oh, yeah. Now, we're doing it right, dude. Another thing I will unveil here that was actually going to be a secret, but I'm going to tie it to the neurological things that we were talking about, and then we'll end it. We're also going to be providing a... do you know what that is?
Yes.
Have you ever seen this?
Oh, wait. No, I thought it was a grinder. Sorry.
Oh, no. Yeah. Well, good call. We'll have those next year. You know, in a legal state, we'll do that kind of thing. This, my friends, is one of the best pattern interruption tools you will ever find. So it's a fart maker. And why I have this, why I'm going to offer everyone one of these when you come to the event is as well, it's one of the best neurological pattern interruption tools you can imagine. Now, if you imagine standing in a line, maybe the DMV, maybe the bank, everything's kind of boring or whatever. You got one of those in your pocket. Room just got a lot better, didn't it? So this is the whole point of this. It's shaking up your reality a little bit. It's having some fun here. Throw one of these on the frozen food section aisle whenever you're walking by yourself. Have some fun. Maybe you'll have a neighbor in the, you know, on the thing. You'll see a laugh. You'll see a wake up. There's a Instagram account. I haven't met the guy. I just love him. It's called Humor Bagel. You guys go check it out. His whole thing is he walks around New York City's Central Park with one of these in his pocket. And what I love about this, you may think it's like some sort of like lowbrow humor or whatever, but really what he's doing on a deep level is he's pattern interrupting and he's inviting people to get out of their day to investigate something really fun and to remember that childlike wonder, because farts are hilarious. Everybody says farts are hilarious, yeah. Right? Now, the best part about it is you'll see a lot of these people on a phone call with their lawyer or, you know, they're going through a divorce. You don't know if their dad's in the hospital. You don't know what's going on with them. But for a minute there, this guy rips a hard one in a tunnel, and it's hilarious, right? Everything changes with this dude walking around with this thing. So you could feel the mood shift. You could feel the energy change. And I'd like to offer that to everybody when they come. And yes, we did get stickers specially sized just for these things. So, yeah, but man, it's going to be a blast. I'm so grateful, honestly, Ryan, for connecting with you, dude, for the opportunity for us to come hang out here. Sheila, Scott, thank you so much for always being so wonderful.
Oh, always. You're more than yes. welcome. We're glad to be here.
I'm glad all of you came. This was so much fun. I didn't even barely have to talk. That's what I that's call a great words, episode, right? Where you just get to sit back and just take it all in and process. And it takes me longer to process sometimes. But, well, guys, thank you again for being here. Hill folk, you guys know what to do. We're going to have all these things posted. This episode will drop Monday, just so you guys know. We do it. We turn and burn pretty fast.
Yeah, you do. Damn. I love it.
We'll just, when we record it, they go to where they're supposed to go, whether it's the Patreon or what the public. So Monday, this will drop. You guys know what to do from there. Go show these guys the love. Go to their YouTube channels, the Expanding Reality Podcast. I can already tell you I'm 7 episodes deep and it's awesome. Well, I went most recent just to be on topic. You know.
You're current. Yeah, that's where I'm at. Just
to like keep it. Current.
You got it.
Plus, I got to get my daily dose of Russell Brand in. I don't know if you guys like him or not, but his daily podcast, yeah. Stay Free, is amazing. All right, hell folk, show them the support, share the show. And you guys know, sharing this is just as important as if you were buying a ticket to go to this event, because that's how they book this stuff. That's how we keep our numbers up, and that's how we keep doing this to bring you guys the entertainment you love. So thank you for joining us, and until next time, we'll see y'all later.